Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
The Noor of Nisbat and Allah's presence, another core attribute of a Sahib al-Nisba, is that he always remains aware of Allah's presence, implying that he always acknowledges that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. The Quran tells us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you wherever you are. He is with you wherever you may be. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْ تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Worship Allah. And this is about Ihsan. To worship Allah. In other words, worship Him as if you see Him. And if you cannot develop a summoning of His presence, then as if He, Allah, watches you. Thus, the saints, the awliya, always find themselves in His presence and remain heedful of it. Allahu hadiri, Allahu nadiri, Allahu ma'i. The noble companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, would find themselves in such a state after the first meeting with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But later on, the respected Sufis developed a system of acquiring it through the path of tasawwuf and suluk. Someone once asked Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya, Nawarallahu Markadahu, concerning tasawwuf. He replied, the beginning of tasawwuf, al-ibtida, is innamal amalu bin niyat. Actions are based on intentions. That's the beginning of tasawwuf. We have to learn that. We have to learn correct intentions. That's the beginning. And the end of tasawwuf is أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. To worship Allah as if you see Him. That's the end of it. That is nisbat, ihsan. This is the very thing called nisbat. The very thing called dhikr, remembrance, huzuri. The very thing called presence. Allahu hadiri, Allahu nadiri, Allahu ma'i. So this is a very deep statement of Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya. Tells us what the beginning of tasawwuf is. It is innamal amalu bin niyat. Actions are judged by intentions. Our mashayikh, our elders say that we have to learn that. They used to learn intentions. And the end of tasawwuf is أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى. To worship Allah as though you see Him. Some people have a habit of asking, what is the need of giving bayat and taking bayat? Why does one need a spiritual guide, a sheikh, a mentor, a peer? Why? The answer lies in the fact that the mashayikh teach one to remain constantly aware of Allah Ta'ala's presence. And then there's the barakat of nisbat. The continual awareness of Allah's presence and resulting remembrance is called the best of faith, the best of iman. According to a hadith, Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of iman is that you realize that Allah is with you wherever you may be. That is the best of iman. In fact, in one hadith we are told, al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shoba. Iman has 70 something branches of it. For afdaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah. And the best and the highest branch of iman is la ilaha illallah. Which when we understand what la ilaha illallah means, it means la mawjuda illallah. His wujud is always there. It is wajib. And the Nabi alayhi salam said in this hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit that the best of iman is that you realize that Allah is with you wherever you may be. One should strive to attain this state. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, be mindful of Allah's presence. You will find him by you, Mishkat. Thus, the trait of someone who has attained nisbah is that he incessantly remains mindful and conscious of Allah Ta'ala's presence. Allah is never absent from him. Awareness of Allah and the shepherd. Let's go back in the time of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Once, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, camped in a jungle. This is the son of Umar, radiallahu ta'ala. He saw a shepherd herding his sheep nearby, and he invited him for lunch, which was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to invite people, to eat with people. To which the shepherd said, "Ana saim, I am fasting." This was strange to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For here the shepherd was in the midst of a jungle, alone and yet fasting. Moreover, he was herding his flock in the ferocious heat with no one to praise his daring act. Thus Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu decided to test this young man. He called him and said, give us one of your sheep and we shall cook it, and that will provide for opening for your fast as well, to break fast. The lad said, these are not my sheep, but my master's. To which Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma replied, how would your master know if he was to simply take one of the sheep? It's my kya problem. To this the shepherd said, my master does not see. But Ain Allah, where is Allah? Ain Allah. Hazrat ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma would later tell people about the story and incident. And he would say, what about the intensity of the young man's faith that Allah had instilled? He would say in the lone jungle, Ain Allah, but where is Allah? Where is Allah? Another example of divine consciousness, the boy and divine consciousness. A man was once traveling with his son when they came across a garden of grapes that made the man lust for them. Nice, beautiful grapes. He told his son to keep lookout while he would break off some grapes. You keep watch. He started for the trees, but the moment he came near them, he heard his son shouting, oh father, someone is watching. The moment he said this, the father ran back, but saw no one near his son. Perplexed, he asked his son, who is watching? The young boy said, father, if a someone is not looking, then someone's lord and rob is at least looking. Allahu Akbar. Another example. Allahu Hadiri. Hazrat Bahauddin Zakariya. This is a famous story. Hazrat Bahauddin Zakariya and the mindfulness and consciousness of Allah. Hazrat Bahauddin Rahmatullah Alayhi gave bay'ah to Hazrat Shihabuddin Suharwardi Rahmatullah Alayhi and was bestowed with ambassadorship, Khilafat. On the third day, Hazrat gave him Khilafat. The long-time residents of the sanctuary, the Khanqah, felt dispute about the Sheikh's decision and said, Hazrat, he had only been here 3 days and you made him your Khalifa, while we have been here for years. Kindly cast your blessings upon us as well. Hazrat Sheikh Shihabuddin As-Suharwardi Rahmatullah Alayhi replied, you will shortly be made to understand the matter. The next day, he handed chickens to all those who had disputed along with Hazrat Bahauddin and instructed, slaughter these where no one can see you. Don't let anybody see you. Slaughter these where no one can see you. Thus they all set out, and someone slaughtered his underneath a tree, someone in a room, and someone behind a wall, etc. A while later they all came back and showed Hazrat their slaughtered chickens. Later on, Hazrat Sheikh Bahauddin Rahmatullah Alayhi came back too, but he was crying. Hazrat said, why do you cry? He replied, you instructed me to slaughter it where nobody could see me, where no one could see. But everywhere I went, I felt Allah watching over me, and thus I failed to complete the task you allotted. When he said that, Hazrat Shihabuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi addressed those present and said, this hal of his, this state of his, was the reason I blessed him with bounty so soon. On the third day, he got Khilafat. So therefore, beware. Allah is watching. Allah is watching. Allah Ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Do they not know that Allah is watching? Allah is watching. Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Suratul Alaq. It worries to ponder that today we sin while Allah watches us. What is the level of disgrace that we would face on the day of Qiyamah? Does it make sense for us to repent today and instill this feeling and state of remaining wary and mindful of Allah's presence? Nisbat, the nur of nisbat and hifazat, protection of Allah. As-sahibun nisba, one who is blessed with this huzuri, connection, attachment, comes under the special protection of Allah. Wow. He comes under the special protection of Allah. The prophets, alayhimu salatu wassalam, are masoom and innocent from sin. While the awliyaullah, the friends of Allah, they are protected from sin. That's the difference. The prophets are masoom, innocent from sin. The awliya are protected from sin. The blessings of the nisbah are such that the awliyaullah, the walis, do not transgress by intention. But if they make a mistake unknowingly, they instantly repent, and the radiance of their nisbah washes away the effects. This is what makes them safe and mahfuz from sin. Allah Ta'ala takes his friends. This is how Allah treats his friends. Allah Ta'ala takes his friends away from a life of sin. If Allah likes you, you may be in a life of sin. You may be doing wrong, but it wouldn't be for too long. Allah will take you out. What the Quran says, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the wali, the friend, the helper of those who believe. Yukrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. He takes them out from darkness into sin, because Allah is their friend. He takes them out from darkness, from dhulumat, ila an-nur, unto nur and light. Allah Ta'ala takes his friends away from a life of sin into a life of virtue and nur. Just as a father cannot bear watching his son indulge in unethical acts and pulls him out from that environment, so too Allah pulls his true servants out of the pressure of desires and shaitan into a life of piety, as they have pleased him through abundant worship. A personality free from sin. We go back to our akabir, our elders. When the cornerstone of the Darul Uloom Deoband, Darul Uloom Deoband is known as Ummul Madaris, the mother of all madrasas in India and Pakistan. When the cornerstone of that Darul Uloom was being laid, the founder, the principal, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Rahmatul Alayh, announced that he would have it done, that cornerstone would be done, would be laid by a person who had not only refrained from sins, but the thought of sin had never even crossed his heart. He's going to put that cornerstone for us today. Thus he chose Maulana Asghar Hussain Khandalwi's uncle, Rahmatul Alayh, and he chose Shah Hussain Ahmad. He wasn't no alim. He wasn't no qari, no sheikh. He chose Shah Hussain Ahmad, Rahmatul Alayh, who was famous as Munnaisha. Munnaisha, Munnaisha. He was short in height, but extremely tall in terms of divine status. He was a gardener, cutting grass and planting, and gardener by profession. He would save a bit from his daily earning till it became enough to host a dinner for all the faculty of Darul Uloom Deoband. Save enough, and then he would invite the whole faculty, all teachers and staff of Deoband, invite them for food. I also heard the story from Mufti Ahmad Kanpur, Damod Barakatuhum. He mentioned it in Noor Islam. The faculty members would say that they would wait the entire year for that dinner. They would wait for that dinner the whole year, because eating that food was so halal, so pure, so much barakat, eating it would lead to an increment in the concentration of their prayers. Feel so good. Subhanallah. Think about the level of honesty to acquire such pure and blessed earning, halal earning. When a person takes from haram wealth and halal, haram earning, then it has a poisonous effect on him. Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri had explained this in details for us. No sin, no chance. We go back to Imam Al-Mujaddid Al-Faisani, Rahmatul Alayh, from whom came the famous fatawa, Fatawa-e Alamgiri. He writes that there have been some pious people within this ummah. Subhanallah, the blessed ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There have been some pious people within this ummah that the angels who record misdeeds do not even get a chance to record a single one bad deed for 20 years at a time. Sometime for 20 years, the angel Kaim record a bad deed. Mujaddid Al-Faisani has written about this. Such are the blessings of a heart illuminated with the nisba. Nisba, this is what we want. You have Maulana Zakaria said what? What is the beginning of tasawwuf? Innama al-a'malu binniyat. What is the end of tasawwuf? An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara. The nisba and the adulteress, the zaniya. During the time of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, subhanallah. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatul alayh. There lived an extremely arrogant man, a jabbar, mutakabbir. He had all the wealth in the world and a host of beautiful women, beautiful maids. He just wouldn't find time away from his evil activities. He devoted to evil activities. Someone mentioned to him the taqwa, the piety of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, and he decided to test him. Thus, he called the most beautiful of his women, the most beautiful of his maids, and told her to make herself look as attractive as possible. Go to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, and while asking him a fatwa, suddenly she must expose her face. Only then would true taqwa and piety show itself. This woman went, the most beautiful of all his maids and women. She went to the office of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, and started to ask concerning a religious decree, a fatwa, masala. While Hazrat was explaining, she suddenly lifted her veil and smiled at him. The moment his gaze fell on her face, he instantaneously uttered the word, Allah. This word, Allah, had so much power in it that it immediately permeated her heart and she hid her face behind her veil. When she returned to her master, though her world had changed by one Allah she heard from a Sahib al-Nisbah, she told him that she had heard the name Allah and it had penetrated her world. Thus she could not follow his corrupt lifestyle anymore. She began a life of worship and would fast during the day while her nights would be spent praying. The man would later sit in amongst his friends and say, what harm did I ever cause to Junaid Baghdadi? What I did this man, that he did something to my most beautiful maid? Now she's of no use to me. Such are Allah's ways of protecting Sahib al-Nisbah people from trials and tribulations. The aversions of the Sharia, aversions of the self. What is makruh in the Sharia also becomes makruh to the self. That's another trait of the Nisbah, is that a person finds it very easy to act upon the Sharia. The ordinances of the Sharia become a need of his soul. It's a need of his soul instead of a burden. Thus, such a person cannot rest until he fulfills the commands of the Sharia. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bihi. None of you can be a true believer until all his desires have become subjected, naturally accustomed to the deen I have brought, Al-Bukhari. This is another way of translating it. None of you has believed, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakunu hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bihi. None of you has truly believed until all his desires, his hawa, have become naturally accustomed and inclined and subjected to the religion I have brought. Al-Bukhari, Hadith of Bukhari. Hazrat Thanawi, rahmatullah alayhi, stated that, you know what he said, the purpose of zikr. You know what zikr is for? The purpose of zikr is to rid every minute particle of the body from the effects of sins. Sins create a bad effect on us. And the purpose of zikr is to rid every minute particle of the body from the effects of sins. Some mashayikh have referred to this as the engagement of the heart. The engagement of the heart. Some seekers of this path take this to be a specific beating of the heart, that the heart beats in a specific way. This is true, because then the heart also beats Allah, 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 Allah. But this is true, in fact. It's mentioned about our Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Muta'ala that Usama said while driving, he was with Hazrat in a car, in a vehicle, and he had rested his head by Hazrat's chest, and he was hearing from Hazrat's chest, and like he was about just maybe falling asleep, or he just went close to Hazrat's chest, and he was hearing from the sound of Hazrat's chest, he was here inside the beating, Allah, 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 Allah. That's how the heart beats. So anyhow, the heart and the beating and inside, all of this is good. This is true. But it is of no worth. It's not reliable unless the body attests to it through actions. Unless the body attests to it through actions. If a seeker possesses the state of the heart engaged in Allah, state of the heart engaged in Allah, while his actions are against the Shariat, and his actions are against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his engagement is of no credibility. No, galat, wrong. Something wrong there. The beginning of tasawwuf, we can also say, is the constant engagement and immersions of the heart in Allah. Another beginning of tasawwuf. The constant engagement and immersion of the qalb, of the heart in Allah. While the end of tasawwuf, the end of it is the commands of Allah, the awamir of Allah, being implemented on his entire existence. This is so important because some people claim Allah and they claim to be Sufis and Allah and the heart beating and all sorts of things and not practicing the Sunnah and away from the Shariat. Then it would be clear that his body is under the command of his heart. When the body comes under the command of the heart, then that is reliable. And only then can it be said that his heart has truly become engaged. Body comes under the control of the heart. Thus, a sahibun niswa strives to act upon the commands of the Sharia, which, while he dislikes the prohibitions. So the sahibun niswa strives to act upon the commands of the Sharia, while he dislikes the prohibitions with his heart. He dislikes it naturally, with his heart, instead of objectionably. This state and this hal is referred to as the aversions of the Sharia becoming the aversions of the self. Look, there's a difference in worship. 548. A difference in worship. When a person becomes ill and sick, the doctor advises him to eat good foods in order to sustain his nutrition. The patient does eat these healthy foods, but he eats it and there is no pleasure, without delight. Conversely, the person who is physically fit and his hunger is intact enjoys eating food, good food, and he extracts more nutrition. He extracts more nutrition than the former. Such is the difference between the worship of an ordinary person and the worship of a sahibun niswa. While an ordinary person has to force himself to engage in worship, and that's good too. That's good too, mashallah. He still has to say alhamdulillah for that. That Allah has still given him the tawfiq and he can still engage in worship. But there's a difference, and this is a ni'mat and a gift from Allah. If even a person doesn't enjoy it and has to force himself, he must thank Allah for that. That's good. That's very good. But if the ni'mat comes, then thousands, hundreds of thousands of gratitude to Allah. While an ordinary person has to force himself to engage in worship. Sometimes you have feeling real tired. Oh gosh, I had to perform salat. But but he forces himself to perform the salat, which is also praiseworthy. That's also praiseworthy. But for a sahibun nisbah, then for him it is a need. Fulfillment of the ibadat and doing acts of worship and following the sharia, it is a need, a hajat, and something extremely delightful. And he considers it a need for his soul, something extremely delightful. This spiritual fitness is referred to as the nisbah. The nisbah. I know today is the day of Arafah. We have 5 minutes before Azan, and we should engage in dua, inshallah, before the going away of this day of Arafah. So we have 5 minutes. We have 4 minutes again now to make little dua and get ready, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallama wa bihamdik, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't.